Hi, hi. The episode that follows is part of a 7-episode series on the trans allegory of I Saw the TV Glow. Spoilers abound. Be sure you've watched the movie before listening. It's very, very trans, so beautiful and so important, but it is very emotionally heavy. You'll want to be in a good headspace and heart space before watching, and be sure to have someone to hug after. Onward we go. Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. Tillyvision now in stable orbit in the intentional trans allegory of I Saw the TV Glow, Part 5. Our connection to community returns and brings with it the hope of another chance at self-actualization. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, the lady who's not trans and yet is very much my axe, Susan Bridges.
Hello.
You're an axe if ever a human was.
Well, yeah.
Our returning guest is fantastic human, Lyva Sturgis.
Hello, I am so ready to talk about the allegorical significance of raw meat today.
Oh, yeah, we're going to... Is that in this part? I don't even remember what is in what part.
No, we're going to the grocery store.
Okay. I think you're right.
We're going to the grocery store.
Listen, I wrote all these together and I don't remember what's in what part. So it's all a surprise to me as
That's
we go.
All right.
All right. Diving back in where we left off. 46 minutes, 8 seconds. Owen apologizes to his dad for being home late. Even though he's an adult now, his father still controls his life. And look at all the fear everywhere around him. 46 minutes, 19 seconds. His dad has fear behind him, is on a dysphoria sofa, is bathed in blue. This is what awaits you, Owen. The TV is all blue, playing a laugh track from a sitcom. This will be your miserable life. 46 minutes, 30 seconds. Owen on his bed. The light is yellow. Walls around him are green. As he turns his TV on, it bathes him in blue. He's on his way to where his dad is, a sad, for him, masculinity. But he turns the light out. The fear is gone if he just gives in. Narration from the TV. The invaders changed the planet's atmosphere, creating an eternal night. Well, that's what this life is. 46 minutes, 57 seconds. Owen walks through the theater. The movie is Transmorphers. It is a real movie. A 20-teens low-rent Transformers. And the screen is all yellow. Super text. Owen is all blue. Narration. The sun forever covered by the dark clouds. Super text. The survivors fled underground, living in fear of the machines that now ruled the earth. How very Matrix-y. And in the Matrix, I wrote a whole book about it, begin transmission, the trans allegories of the Matrix. You probably know that by now. Machines equal transphobic society, and humans are trans people. Living underground is going into hiding for safety, as Owen has done, even though he refuses to acknowledge his own truth. And I just want to say really quick how genius including these clips of that movie were. The narration in colors fit the theme of I Saw the TV Glow so perfectly. I was sure they had to be entirely fictional and made up for this movie. But no, it is very real. I kind of want to see it sometime.
Yeah.
It looked so bad.
The more we talk about this film, the more I'm convinced that the director is kind of a genius.
An absolute genius. Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Okay, 47 minutes, 16 seconds. Owen's at the grocery store by the produce.
Yes.
I feel like there's something going on with the photos of the produce above his head, even outside of the colors, but I have not been able to decipher any meaning. Sometimes produce is just produce, but he is surrounded by all green, green things that are grown in nature. Dysphoria is natural for him. But Lyla, you have a very interesting theory about the produce signs on the wall.
Well, I don't know if it's a theory so much as a feeling that I get.
Okay, yeah.
I find that particular shot extremely visually arresting.
Yeah.
The pictures of the produce take up like half the screen. So
Yeah.
obviously we are meant to see the produce.
Your eye is drawn right to those signs, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, right. It really kind of, steals focus from Owen, this
Yeah.
giant pictures of weirdly arranged fruits and vegetables.
Very
And
weirdly arranged, yes.
like
Very
sometimes,
intentionally weirdly arranged.
as you
The
say,
store did not
sometimes,
just have those
right, an
like that.
eggplant is just an eggplant. But I think in this, we're supposed to look at it, I think, and be befuddled. I
Yeah.
believe that there is no coherent arrangement. I think it's meant to feel jumbled. That's the only thing I can think after watching this movie like three times.
It looks a little bit like a comic thought bubble, like over his head.
That's fascinating. It kind of does.
Like this is his thoughts. Like they don't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like none of those vegetables or fruits go together in any conceivable way.
No, they don't.
It's just a mess.
Yeah,
It's just a
But you could
mess.
like draw a little bubble. Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the still from it now, and it even kind of looks like that with the onion on the bottom, like a little thought bubble going up. And it's just, yeah, all these things swimming around his head. And the colors, I mean, there's red in there's yellow, there's green, and it's just fascinating. I don't know. Maybe I think Lila, maybe you're onto something. Maybe it's just supposed to be weird and unsettling and pull your eye to it and be confusing. And maybe that's all it is. But for a while I was even thinking, are they meant to be like letters? Is it
That's
spelling
what I
something
couldn't
out?
figure out. Yeah. And I feel
Yeah.
like you're supposed to wonder that. I feel like you're
Yeah,
supposed to be
yeah.
hunting for meaning in it, and there just isn't any.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fascinating shot either way.
It
So,
really is.
yeah. 47 minutes, 49 seconds. Maddie returns, and look how her gender presentation has changed. Also, look how much closer to Tara on the Pink Opaque she now looks. It's not identical. Transition is a journey, and she's not done yet, but she's definitely on the way. There's all meat behind her, which I see as her having already had access to physicality and bodily form, bodily autonomy. See the episode of this show all about it. And again, it's behind her, so Owen can't get to feeling like his body is his own if he doesn't cross to where Maddie's been. And she's holding a stake, showing you that she has been there.
She is holding a
Wild.
raw steak, and it is
Yeah.
so powerful. This raw
It
steak
is.
she's
It's just
holding
in
here.
her hand, too.
It's
She's
just in
just
her
holding it
hand.
raw. Yeah.
There is no
And
packaging. She's just
no,
holding a raw
she's
steak.
holding a raw steak. And I'm going to talk a little more about that in a second, but I wanted to mention that on the commentary, Jane said that they had to move the store's meat section to get it behind her in the shot. It was not originally there. That is not accidental. They
I love that.
intentionally put that meat behind her. 48 minutes, 31 seconds. Owen meets her in the middle, but does not cross behind her to access bodily autonomy. Maddie drops the meat as if to tell him changing your body is what will get him to where she is. Again, to clarify, nobody is suggesting you have to change your body to be trans or transition. We don't do trans medicalism here, there, or anywhere. This is speaking in metaphor. But also, look how in this shot, the meat behind Maddie looks much more pink than red. Transness is back there, and it can be accessed by claiming his own bodily autonomy if Owen's willing to go for it. 48 minutes, 56
I want to
seconds.
know about the American flag.
Yes.
Like, it's such a huge.
It is weird that there are like three of them, right? In that shot, I think, just hanging there in the background. Yeah.
Yeah, I need to think about that.
Why are
Because
they
like
there?
red meat, red-blooded Americans, I don't know. Maybe there's something, who knows? I don't know. The visual presentation of the scene, I feel like in a lot of it kind of eludes, a direct kind of,
Yeah.
metaphorical understand. I think that there's more to this scene than just like this means this and that means that. I feel
Yeah.
like, she had a vision and she's executing her vision, but maybe she doesn't even know,
So yeah, well, sometimes when we do stuff, it's conscious, but it's subconscious. You know what I mean? Like we're intending to do it subconsciously, we don't consciously realize that we're doing it sometimes. So,
I mean, it could also just speak to tradition,
Sure.
society, the cis hetero society that,
Tells you can't cross that line.
yeah.
Yeah. 48 minutes, 56 seconds. Maddie,
I know a place on the edge of town. It'll be safe for us to talk there. As his only access to transness as a person who has transitioned, she knows the safe place or way for Owen to explore his transness again. Look at the sign for the fun center that they walk beneath and the colors there and what that's telling you about what Owen has done to himself and the emptiness, those empty shopping carts again surrounding him. There is nothing fun for him there at all. Foreshadowing, oh ho! 49 minutes, 6 seconds. It's all red as we hear Claw Machine by Sloppy Jane. Here's some lyrics for you. I'm in the 8th grade, sending grown men grainy photos of my rib cage. Now, you can read something sexual into that if you want, but the wording of rib cage should make you think otherwise. It sounds to me almost like sending a doctor photos of yourself to inquire about top surgery. My bedroom has no doors, so I can never close them. So, fun fact that is not fun, but is factual. My mother hated when I closed my bedroom door. I didn't know I was trans. I didn't have the words, but if I did, I'd have told you. My mom didn't know I was trans, consciously, but she picked up on every bit of femininity I ever tried to explore and mocked, belittled, and punished me for it. And I think she never wanted my bedroom door closed because then who knows what gender I might be exploring within. I'm just saying that there's something to it. Even when cis people don't know we're trans, some of them know we're trans. I paint the ceiling black so I don't notice when my eyes are open. That line just, wow, hits me really hard. And this is getting a little uncomfortable because when I was in high school, my entire bedroom was black and gray, and I don't even like those colors. No shade to those who do. But it's how I felt, especially at the height of puberty. It took this movie to make me realize that connection right now as I was writing it, and that is very heavy. But think about that truly and what trans people going through the wrong puberty is like for us to not even want to notice when our eyes are open. Staying in that hell, that's the danger. 49 minutes, 39 seconds. The sign behind the stage says this is the double lunch. We know from when Owen and Maddie first met that this is the club on the Pink Opaque TV show. Maddie has escaped and found true reality as Tara.
I just want to talk about how brilliant it is that the double lunch is brought into this reality after being, it's sort of a throwaway line earlier in the film, double lunch.
Right, the double lunch.
You know, which two acts are going to play at the double lunch in each episode, right?
Yeah.
And then it's never called attention to. I just love this kind of storytelling where all the pieces are sort of left for you, the audience, to sort of put together, right?
Yeah.
But no one's saying, look, this is the thing we were talking about earlier. Isn't that interesting? You know, because it is a very beautiful moment of realization where you're like, wait a minute, this is a place that cannot exist. So what's happening here?
Right.
What is the nature of reality right now in this narrative? And which is such a beautiful, you know, tableau. It's a beautiful table to set for the conversation that's about to happen, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, you're right, because they don't mention double lunch in dialogue more than just that one time, I don't think. And there's no like bright flashing arrow pointing you to the name. It's just there if you're paying attention.
Yeah. And also, just like in the show, there's two acts that play.
There are.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. 49 minutes, 59 seconds. This is a very trapped in dysphoria song. Here's another portion of lyrics. I think I was born bored. I think I was born blue. I think I was born wanting more. I think I was born already missing you. Which I interpret sort of as life has always been gray. All I've known is despair. This can be what my life is. Where's the real me I've longed for since I was born? It kind of burns you up like you're going through atmospheric reentry, doesn't it?
Can we also just talk about how Phoebe Bridgers is just there, just hanging out?
Is she?
Yeah, that's Phoebe Bridgers playing the guitar.
I didn't even know. Okay, yeah. Wow. Jane Schoenbrunn's got some clout.
Apparently, yeah.
51 minutes, 9 seconds. Owen and Maddie are talking backstage. Dysphoria and fear are right behind Owen, and talking with Maddie is all red. Danger, danger is all he sees. To Maddie's right, look at the lamp in trans pride flag colors on the desk, and on the far right, how much smaller her own green dysphoria has become. Transition helps alleviate dysphoria. 51 minutes, 15 seconds. Owen. They think you're dead, Maddie. That's how so many cis people treat us when we transition. It's cis grief over losing the fake person we never were that only hurt us. There's a whole Trans Tuesday about it at tillystranstuesdays.com. 51 minutes, 35 seconds. Maddie, I'll tell you everything. I just need to ask you something first. Owen, does your mom know that you're alive? Remember that his mom represented his own access to femininity. Do you see what he's asking her here? Are you still in touch with your femininity? Did you transition? 51 minutes, 48 seconds. Notice that even though they're sitting in all red, Owen is also lit with yellow. He is scared shitless by this. Maddie transitioned. I'm talking to her about it. Does that mean I am? Oh God, I'm so scared. 52 minutes, 10 seconds. Maddie asks him if he remembers the pink opaque, the transness that they explored together. Of course he does. It meant more to him than anything else. 53 minutes, 2 seconds. Maddie, how do you remember it? Do you remember it as just a TV show? Was it just us playing around, or was there something real there? 53 minutes, 18 seconds. We get the shot of Owen through the door in a dress. That is pink. Femininity, transness, presentation change, trans femininity, super text. But note the green towel behind him. This has not eliminated his dysphoria, but for the moment, it's sure smaller than the giant fish tank, huh? And outside the room he's in, fear of getting found out.
I'm gonna be honest, this shot surprised me because I was not expecting the film to just go there and be as
Surface level,
direct.
right?
And like,
Yeah.
no, it is there in the text. Owen is trans. Owen
Right.
is, when they are watching the pink opaque together, they are doing more than watching a TV show. And this is something that Maddie is clearly laying out,
Right.
like saying, no, you're trans. Like
Yeah.
she doesn't say the words, but she might as well.
Well, later on, though, she does tell him that he is Isabel, which is also basically saying you are trans. So
Yes, that's
it's very surface
true.
level. Owen says he remembers it only as a TV show, but he's bathed in danger and fear, and his voice breaks. He's so scared. Owen, the last show before the Young Adult Network switched to black and white reruns for the night. And we've heard that before, but right now it's telling you everything. This is when they were young adults, and it was the last thing they did before the world went back to black and white, lost its vibrance and joy, and went back to being the false dichotomy. There's an episode of this show about it. You've heard me mention it many times. 53 minutes, 51 seconds. Behind Maddie, look at the light on the wall. Pink. Maddie, are you sure that's all it was? Wasn't trying on that dress more than kids playing around? Didn't it make you feel things? Didn't it clue you into something? 54 minutes, 11 seconds. Maddie smiles as she looks next to the reflection of Owen in the dress. He's seeing his true self, Isabel, and his transness for the first time. Owen smiles too, but dysphoria and especially fear are still there. This is so scary.
I think this is a really beautiful couple of moments in this film too.
Yes.
The film where, the moment where Owen comes out of the bathroom in the dress and is obviously feeling very, nervous and
Yeah.
apprehensive about it, and Maddie's smile. Again, I think there's something so generous in Bridget Lundy Payne's portrayal of this character,
Yeah.
who is able to project love in such powerful ways. And
Yeah.
this is just that brief moment, that little smile on Maddie's face, suggests something so beautiful that I feel like I just am so in love with Bridget Lundy Payne after watching this film and the nuances of their performance. It's just
Yeah.
phenomenal.
Yeah. And there's also that spot with Owen in the dress. It's just a half a second, but there's a slight, like, hint of a smile, and it's the sweetest, but he's so scared, and it's the sweetest little
And
thing.
like Owen never smiled.
No, he doesn't.
Mm-mm.
'Cause he's miserable.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is as happy as we see Owen.
Yeah, it is. 54 minutes, 40 seconds. Maddie asks him when he thinks back about those nights watching the show if he ever gets confused, like maybe the memory isn't quite right. This is dissociation. 54 minutes, 54 seconds. Owen, in his pink dress, walks on the football field like we saw Isabel do in the pink opaque earlier. The pink ghost tattoo zaps into being on his neck. Maddie, does time ever feel like it's not moving normally? Oh God, the disassociation. Life with dysphoria is so bad. Many of us dissociate and lose not just memories, but often entire years of memories of our lives. Time seems to disappear, which Owen deals with a lot in this movie. I talked a bit about the loss of memories of my own life in the Trans Tuesdays on trans grief.
I have a little anecdote about this. This is
Yeah.
really brought to mind for me. About 10 years ago, before I transitioned, a friend of mine posted on Facebook that he had found at a flea market a Duran Duran board game. And
Wow.
I was very excited about this because I had played that very board game with my then girlfriend, Melinda. So I reached out to Melinda on Facebook. We were Facebook friends. I don't think we'd ever spoken though, right? So
Sure.
I reached out and I said, "Hey, remember when you and I played the Duran Duran board game?" And she said to me, now remember, this is before I transitioned. This is before I came out as trans. This is
Yeah.
all, pre everything. She writes back, "No, I don't remember that. What I do remember is you coming over to my house and wanting to try on all of my mother's jewelry." I have absolutely no memory of this. To this
Sure.
day, I have
Yep.
no memory of this. I believe it, but to me, it's so shocking that no memory of that exists. It's just completely gone.
Yeah.
It's not like I kind of remember it, but kind of, no, it's just not there. There's no memory.
Yeah, I have large chunks of my life that are like that. Like, I'll remember a few little flashes here and there, things that were important to me, maybe, but there's like entire years that I've lost. People would be like, what were I like? I can't tell you what I was doing for like 3 years in there. I have no memories from them at all, and because I was just dissociating so hard. And it's the wildest thing. Those years are just gone. What is time? Nothing makes any sense. It just zips and it's gone. 55 minutes, 2 seconds. Static. Transphobia fills his head. Maddie, do you ever feel like you're narrating your own life, watching it play in front of you like an episode of television? Holy crap, listen, this is also life with dysphoria, where you feel disembodied, like you're watching yourself go through the motions. You're disconnected from your own life. Nothing feels real. So you literally wonder, what is reality? What is real? You can't tell because the entire world has gaslit you into thinking you're something you're not.
Now, when I was a teenager, I was
Yeah.
convinced that I was a sociopath because I thought that I didn't have any emotions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it's so hard to feel anything to get through all of that muck that just covers everything.
I just felt nothing.
Yeah. And a lot of our early writing was dealing with reality. Yes, what is reality? Yeah, I was always like, let's explore what it, this, let's write another script about a world where nobody knows what's real. Weird. And The Matrix, of course, deals with that too. It took me an entire book to talk about it. You know the title. I don't need to mention it again. But Barbie also deals with it. Reality is not what you're told it is when you grow up as a trans person in a transphobic home and a society that denies your existence. See all the episodes all about Barbie for more on that. Maddie, or do you ever have a hard time distinguishing between what happened in the show and what happened in real life? Like somehow the memories got jumbled around, shook up in your head like a snow globe. Like a snow globe.
Like a snow
This isn't
globe.
just foreshadowing. But it's telling you what that snow globe will represent when it shows up. 53 minutes, 30 seconds. Isabel, in a pink dress, walks on the green dysphoria football field with an axe. 55 minutes, 35 seconds. Owen, in a pink dress, walks on the green dysphoria football field with Maddie. She is his axe, his weapon against transphobia. I'm sure you're tired of me saying, read my book, but listen, these themes show up again and again and again for a reason. In The Matrix, the trans community is represented by the character Tank. Tanks are literally armored weapons. Later in the franchise, the trans community is represented by the human cities of Zion and Io, which are defended by human-controlled mechs with giant guns. The trans community protects and defends each other. We need each other to fight transphobia. 55 minutes, 46 seconds. Maddie, I'm trying to go slow. I don't want to alarm you. If you just shout at someone that they're trans, even if it's true, it's going to likely scare them and just make them pull back even more. This is why the quote unquote egg prime directive exists. Don't tell an egg you think they're an egg. Eggs are people who are trans and don't know it yet. But the egg prime directive is complicated and often misinterpreted, and that's a topic for another time. Yes, there will be an episode on it, but I haven't written it yet. I'm still writing this one. Give me a break. 54 minutes, 48 seconds. Standing on dysphoria, Owen in his pink dress with Maddie by his side, look up at the blue sky and Mr. Melancholy. 55 minutes, 54 seconds. Owen thinks they should tell the police or his dad. I feel weird, so let me check with my toxic masculinity and see what it thinks. Look at Maddie leaning in on him, pressing the importance. Maddie, no, you can't tell anybody. Do you know how many people you thought loved you and cared about you instantly reveal they do not once they know you're trans? It should be zero. For many of us, it is not. For many of us, it's a lot. 56 minutes, 30 seconds. Maddie, I've been there, inside the show. She's been transitioning. Note, again, they are inside the club from the show. Owen is also there now with Maddie and doesn't even realize it. 56 minutes, 40 seconds. King Woman sings Psychic Wound. Super, super text all over that. Phew! And this song title sure explains the despair of the blue lighting. In the commentary, Jane said this moment was a release from the tension the audience and Owen are feeling. And, well, Owen just learned Maddie transitioned into Tara and that transness is real and he needs to scream about it, foreshadowing what he does later. Why have I been punished? I've been banished from the sky. I didn't ask for this. Why is this happening to me? Why do people hate me for who I am? You're not going to believe this, but the Matrix has Neo literally asking that question out loud. Also, in that franchise, flight is a metaphor for gender euphoria, the kind you can find with transition. In fact, long before ever realizing the flight is gender euphoria metaphor in the Matrix, I described my own first encounter with gender euphoria the exact same way, feeling like flying. I discuss that a bit in the episode on body hacking, where I talk a bit about the first women's clothes I ever owned. And I went into it in even more detail in the Trans Tuesday on Gender Euphoria, which you can find at tillystranstuesdays.com. So banishing someone from the sky is preventing them from ever accessing that euphoria, which means preventing transition. Clinging to his mighty chest, bury my face and cry, I bow to him just to sleep next to you, a force I can't deny. For Owen, holding onto the man he thought he was, that society said he was, is what's causing all his pain, keeping him from the real person inside. When I'm spread on the bed, you remain the luscious fruit. Help me, I'm so chained to you. Someone tell me what to do. At my most vulnerable, you, the real me inside, are what I crave. I keep pretending you're not real, that I'm not trans, that none of this is happening, but it keeps coming up again no matter how much I try to deny it. Poor Owen. 57 minutes, 52 seconds. Owen leaves the danger behind as he walks into despair. Says a whole lot. 58 minutes, 4 seconds. Maddie tells him she can't stay where she is much longer. She's going back to her life as her true self. Maddie, do you remember how it ended? The final episode, the end of season 5. Remember that Owen found the episode guide that mentioned the start of season 6 was escaping the nightmare realm, leaving dysphoria behind, hopefully, and transitioning. But the quote-unquote show ended before that, which means he never got to that point. Maddie, you can't trust anybody in your life. They're all working for him, Mr. Melancholy. Transphobia is everywhere, even in the people you love, and they all work to uphold the transphobic false cis binary matrix, even if they don't realize it. And many will again consciously turn on you the moment they know you're trans. You'll never guess what movie franchise deals with that and explicitly shows you how if you're not fighting the system that oppresses trans people, you're a vital part of the machinery that oppresses us. Anyone? Any ideas? I wrote a damn book about it. Maddie asks him to come to the high school at midnight, his last chance for her to help him out of the misery he's in. 58 minutes, 44 seconds. Owen digs through his closet. It's all fear and danger inside and dysphoria outside. Tonight, Tonight by Snail Mail plays. Lyrics, anyone? We'll crucify the insincere tonight. We'll make things right. We'll feel it all tonight. We'll find a way to offer up the night, the indescribable moments of your life. The impossible is possible tonight. Believe in me as I believe in you. This might be your last chance, Owen. You can do it. He's digging through the closet, which is where he has put himself and his transness, in the closet. Almost every trans person has been there at some point, and choosing to bring our transness out of the closet and into the light of day can be so tough, because society does everything it can to stop us and make us feel that it's bad and wrong. It messes you up a lot, and just look where it's gotten Owen. Thanks for being here, Lila.
Thanks for having me. I think I should come back at least one or two more times to finish this up.
Let's say two. Let's just call it an even two.
All right, let's do it. Okay.
Yeah. Tilly Bridges, end transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The Google Doc and social media versions of this week's topic and all past topics are available at tillystranstuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky, Twitter, and Hive, on Mastodon at tillybridges@mastodon.social, at facebook.com/tillysbridges, and on Insta and Threads at heckyeahtillybridges. And you can find Susan on most of those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of tillystranstuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies, where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.